I'm Annie. And I am super pumped to be here with you ladies and learn and glean and grow right along with you. Oh, I pray this is the cry of all of our hearts to be teachable and have yielded, surrendered hearts to the Holy Spirit for all he has for us this weekend. Since January, this is tender to my heart, of course, but since January, my husband has been very sick and getting sicker with what we thought were heart problems and thought that the ablation and other procedures would help. But this last month, he was diagnosed with cardiac amyloidosis. It's a progressive terminal disease. And watching this precious man of mine of 42 years decline, it's not been easy. I love my man. He's my best friend. And we've been lovers of Jesus for 42 years of our married life. But guess what? I'm surrendering. I'm saying, and I'm believing, but God. If you know anything about our testimony, we've had more radical things happen physically in 42 years of marriage. It's crazy. You can't even make this stuff up. But we've seen the mighty hand of God move supernaturally and have stood trusting Jesus all the way. And he's faithful, and we will be fighters in this battle too. We're going to rest in the waiting, and we know regardless we're winners in Christ, and nothing happens that the Lord doesn't already know and see. The Lord spoke years ago, whose report will you believe? I'll believe the report of the Lord. And then when I get the report, it doesn't change anything. I still believe the report of the Lord. I'm standing on. He's our healer, our deliverer, our sustainer, our provider, our peace, are absolutely everything. He's why I live and breathe and I can dance with joy. A scripture I wake up to and say every day is Isaiah 26:3-4. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you, because why? He trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever. The Lord is everlasting strength. Doesn't that breathe hope and life into you? I, like you, and whatever you're facing or going through, we always have choices. We can choose to pray, or maybe don't pray, choose to give up and give in, or choices to retreat or advance with Jesus. We can become bitter or better. We can choose depression or letting the joy be our strength, even when you're feeling weak. Choices of surrender to the Lord. And you know what? Just be good with his will and doing it his way. Or we can fight it and never be able to walk in his perfect peace. Let's all choose to continue to look to Jesus, the author and the perfecter and the finisher of our faith. In my personal testimony, I cling to 2 Corinthians 12:9-10. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, he is made strong. He is our strength. Jesus told Paul and tells us that his grace already matches every need. Our weaknesses are not obstacles. They're openings for Christ's perfected power. Instead of hiding or resenting our limitations, we can gladly boast in them, confident that the Savior's presence will rest in us, turning us fragile vessels into living displays of his glory. That, my friend, ignites a fire deep within me, and I hope it does you too. When we're weak and we feel we can't move one more step or climb one more mountain, God is right there, friends. He's our strength that makes us strong to persevere and not drown. We could sing, and I love the song, let the king of my heart be the mountain where I run, the fountain I drink from. Oh, he is my song. Let the king of my heart be the shadow where I hide, the ransom of my life, the wind inside my sails and the fire inside my veins and the anchor in the waves. Oh, he is my song. He's never going to let us go, never. Let's pray. Father, we love you, and we commit this time to you, Lord. Lord, I cry out for each one of these ladies. I don't know what they're facing, but you do. You know it all. And so, Father, we trust you, And Lord, we want to walk in surrendered obedience. We want to walk in a position of posture, Lord, that brings you all the glory and the honor, and we want to draw close to you, Lord. So bless this. May I decrease and you increase. In Jesus' name, amen. So our chosen scripture verse for this weekend is taken out of Luke 9, 23 through 27. And he said to them, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what profit is a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels." Luke 9:23 sets out the heartbeat of true discipleship. Jesus invites everyone. No background checks, no status quo or past sins disqualifies you, yet he demands and longs for all of you. The call is clear: decide daily to surrender self. It is not self-loathing. It is a conscious choice to value Jesus above self, and it involves surrendering rights, ambitions, sin-shaped desires, and embrace the cross, which symbolizes suffering and death. Taking up one's cross daily suggests a continual ongoing commitment to endure hardship and persecution for the sake of Christ. Jesus calls for a willingness to die to self-interest and endure hardship for his sake, and walk in step with the Master. Christ himself is both destination and guide. We do not merely keep rules, we keep in step with the living God by choosing to surrender to his word and walk in his ways, which is an ongoing process that requires perseverance and faithfulness. Those who do so find joy in losing life for Christ and discovering real life. Life abundant in full surrender to Jesus. There's this chant I do with my granddaughter every morning after devotion. "I'm going to follow. Are you going to follow?" And then she repeats back, "I'm going to follow. Are you going to follow?" And then we shout out, "We're going to follow Jesus all the days of our lives." And she's 5. But, you know, 5 years old, she's still doing it, you know. We're not princesses. Although you're all beautiful, what we really want to be is warriors, brave, bold warriors, surrendered warriors to Jesus. What does it mean to surrender? First, we have to understand what it means to surrender, because it's our misunderstanding of surrender that prevents us from experiencing God's power in our lives. When we think of surrender, we might think of waving a white flag like we have lost a battle. We think of surrender as giving up. But in the kingdom of God, that is not surrender. Surrender is victory, because you are not at battle with God. God is at battle for you. I love out of 1 Samuel 17, 46 and 47, in the story of David and Goliath. It says, "This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp to the Philistines, to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is God in Israel. Then all this assembly shall know the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." David intended his victory to demonstrate to all the earth, number one, the God of Israel exists. Number two, he was surrounded and surrender to God's plan and willing to be used of God, and he delivers his own, that's us, against overwhelming odds. David's words, "the battle is the Lord's," puts the contest into proper perspective. God is in control, and we surrender in obedience. When you surrender to God completely and wholeheartedly, you experience victory, not defeat. You're bathed in a peace that passes all human understanding, and you can choose to have joy in the middle of the hard and the uncertain. You have true riches because you have a blessed assurance that Jesus won't leave you or forsake you, and you have the hope of heaven and eternity. The Lord eternity with the Lord to all who surrender to him and make him Lord of their lives. David saw what all the other men were afraid of. Matter of fact, they fled. This giant was humongous. And David weighed the difficulties from a divine perspective. God was with him with the bear and the lion. Why not a giant? He saw the Lord going before him, walking beside him, and when he was weak, God was strong within him. And he trusted that battle he was in that God would and did help him supernaturally. And Goliath learned his fight was not with David, but with David's God. A boy versus a giant? Only God. What giants are you facing this weekend that you need to surrender to the Lord and be reminded that nothing is too difficult for our great God to do and accomplish? The battle belongs to the Lord, and surrender is not a negative, it's victory. If you were to think that surrender means we lose, we're going to keep trying to control and manipulate and manufacture the results we want, instead of making room for the one who knows it all, sees it all, and is in it all, Jesus. God's ways are greater than our sister. Isaiah 55:8 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways," says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. God's gracious ways and thoughts exceed all human understanding or imagination. No one can fathom the depths of his wisdom or completely understand how deep his love is for each one of you ladies. Don't you see the gloriousness, the magnificence of surrender to the rescuer, the healer, the sustainer, the deliverer, the provider, the way maker, the peace giver? That is real and true abiding in Christ. Such beauty and total opposite of trying to do it in your own strength or the world's way, which, by the way, only leads to defeat, depression, heartache, confusion, and you get nowhere. Surrender to the Lord's ways and his ways breathe hope and they deep comfort. Surrender is a battle term. It implies giving up all our rights to the conqueror. When an opposing army surrenders, they lay down their arms and the winners take control from then on. Surrendering to God works the same way. You're in a battle. You're warring your flesh, the enemy, and sin. God has a plan for our lives, and surrendering to him means we set aside our own plans and eagerly seek his will, doing it his way and allowing him full reign and control. Surrender may be the missing step in your walk with Jesus right now. Surrender and submission are a mindset of obedience that must be watered and nurtured daily by God's word, the Holy Spirit's counsel, and fellowship with people who care and point us to God's truth in love. Remember, the posture of our hearts is more important than the position of our bodies. When the posture of your heart is humility, complete and utter awe of what an awesome God we serve, having an attitude of gratitude, whether abasing or abounding, or having plenty or little, that will be the attitude of our heart. Listen, we're going to find ourselves in hard places the whole rest of our lives until Jesus takes us home, right? We may learn to express this in physical ways, and that's the cry of our heart. Learn to express it in the physical ways. We need to be in God's word. We need to be kneeling. We need to be bowing our heads and resting in the waiting. We have to quiet our hearts and listen to the Holy Spirit's counsel. Lifting our hands is in surrender, worshiping the one who deserves all praise, honor, and glory. These are glorious positions of surrendered posture. Psalm 51:17 eloquently summarizes God's desire for our worship. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. This scripture shifts the focus from outward ritual to inward reality. God values a spirit that abandons pride, a heart that grieves sin, and a surrendered heart to living righteously, and a will that turns back to him. This alone is a heart posture that God honors and does not despise. as we look at Scripture, let's pay attention to the different positions of posture. There are many examples of people praying to the Lord on their knees, suggesting this was a common practice then and absolutely necessary for us today. Psalm 95:6 says, "Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker." Bowing and kneeling have been long associated with worship, reverence, surrender, and humility. In fact, the Hebrew word actually means bow down. Oh, I love to get my worship on. You should see me in my house. Well, maybe you don't want to see. But that's how I battle, too. I get my worship on. That's a battle strategy. Now let's look at a few scriptures about kneel, knelt, and knees. The best example we got of a surrendered life is the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, in the Garden of Gethsemane, before dying on the cross, knelt and prayed. He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond and knelt down and prayed, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done," out of Luke 22, 41 and 42. This captures the perfect balance of honest human desire and unwavering divine submission to his heavenly Father. Father reflects the intimate relationship between Jesus and God, emphasizing his divine sonship. The cup symbolizes the impending suffering and crucifixion Jesus is about to endure. "And not my will, but yours be done." He was the perfect servant. The ultimate submission to God's will is a central part of our Christian understanding of obedience and sacrifice. It is all pivotal to understanding salvation. This was the ultimate position of surrendered posture. Daniel prayed on his knees three times a day in the upper room with his windows wide open and gave thanks before God, as was his custom since early days, knowing the danger and the ramifications. Daniel 6:10 shows a believer who, knowing the cost, quietly continues his established pattern of prayer, praise, and dependence on God. Facing hostile laws, Daniel chooses obedience to the Lord over compliance with man, anchoring his hope in God's promises and demonstrating steadfast faith that endures any decree, even one backed up by a den of lions. Stephen fell on his knees and prayed, and he cried out in a loud voice before he died as a martyr. Acts 7:60, Stephen's final moments reveal a disciple utterly shaped by his Savior. He bows in surrender, proclaims his allegiance loudly, forgives his attackers, and enters death with a confident rest. Acts 7:60 calls us to the same Christ-like humility, bold witness, and radical forgiveness, and settled hope in the next resurrection, which is coming. And Peter knelt down before the corpse of Tabitha to pray for her before she came back to life. He said, "Tabitha, arise." And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. And that day many believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Acts 9:40 portrays a literal historical miracle of four deliberate movements of Peter. Peter moves, removes distraction. Peter then humbly prays, and he issues Christ's authoritative command and witnesses immediate resurrection power. This verse teaches us to clear space for faith, depend on God through prayer, and trust the authority of Jesus' name. Now, we're probably not going to see someone rising from the dead, but the principle of it, and anticipate the life-giving power that only God can supply, both now and in the final resurrection. And as God is working in all of our lives, we have an audience too. Let us point. Many believe on the Lord Jesus Christ for what they saw. People, you have an audience. People are looking at us. Let's point them to Jesus. Let them taste and hear and see. We're surrendered to God and we trust him. Paul is mentioned bowing his knees in prayer to the Heavenly Father in Ephesians 3:14. All these examples in Scripture, their posture was humility, kneeling, praising, trusting, obedience. And look, they stood strong in the most difficult situations and circumstances. Why? Where were their eyes fixed? They were laser focused on Jesus. Where was their heart? in a surrendered position of posture. Some may be even scared, but totally trusting Jesus in their circumstances. What was their mind fixed on? Jesus. He is the way. He is truth. He is life. He's the only way. They all knew, and we know, we serve the living God who is able, more than able, to accomplish what concerns us today, tomorrow, and every day that follows. Paul's command in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, to pray without ceasing. Well, obviously, we cannot be in a state with our head bound, especially driving. With your eyes closed, don't do it driving. But our posture all day long is what we want, is that obvious state. Paul is not referring to a nonstop talking, but rather an attitude of God consciousness and willing to be obedient at all times and at all cost. Every waking moment, precious super sister Christian friends, is to be lived in awareness that God is with us and is actively involved and engaged in our thoughts and our actions. When our thoughts turn to worry, fear, discouragement, and anger, we are to consciously and quickly turn every thought into a prayer and every prayer into thanksgiving. Write that down, because I'm serious. I do it, and I get to watch God work radically. So will you. In his letter to the Philippians, Paul commands us to stop being anxious and instead, in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Philippians 4:6. He also taught the believers at Colossae to devote themselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, in Colossians 4:2. Paul exhorted the Ephesian believers to see prayer as a weapon to use fighting spiritual battles in Ephesians 6, putting on your whole armor. Get dressed in it every day. We are in a battle. 1 Peter 5:8, I'm going to read it out of the Amplified Bible. Be sober, well-balanced, and self-disciplined. Be alert, vigilant, cautious at all times. The enemy of yours, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, fiercely hungry, seeking someone to devour. Be sober-minded and alert emphasizes the importance of mental clarity and vigilance in your Christian life. In context, sobriety goes beyond alcohol. It refers to a state of spiritual and mental readiness. Your adversary, the devil, is portrayed as the accuser of the brethren in Revelation 12:10, constantly seeking to undermine the faith of believers. Understanding the devil as a personal and active enemy is crucial for Christians, as it underscores the reality and importance of spiritual warfare. And we know doing spiritual warfare is fought on our knees in prayer and in surrender. Then seeking someone to devour is not just physical, but spiritual. He attempts to lead believers away from their faith. That's real. But I love 1 Peter 5:9, where it says, resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. You are not alone in your struggles, and greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. Look around you. Look at our precious, beloved body at Calvary Rathdrum. You see so many needs, so many precious saints, so much going on, and yet we get the privilege to pray, speak encouragement in God's work, and walk with each other, encourage one another. We get to shout out to you, Jesus loves you. We could do that across the sanctuary. It's cool. Hold each other's hands up in the storms and the victories and the triumphs and the miracles. All the God moments, the changes, the growth, we get to do life together. Ladies, you are equipped with everything pertaining to life and godliness, and you lack nothing in Jesus. But we are in a battle, and there is victory in Jesus. But we have a part to play. We have our surrendered position of posture as we go through the day. Prayer and running to God's word must be our first response in every fearful situation, every anxious thought, every conflict, every trial, and every task and truth that God commands us. In Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Joshua 1:8 says, keep, command, that's a command, this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will, there's the promise, then you will be prosperous and successful. Prosperous and successful in the spiritual things. I like saying, listen, Linda. A lack of posture of prayer and marinating in God's word will cause us to depend on ourselves and instead of depending on God's grace. Here's a visual for you. Prayer should be like breathing. You do not have to think to breathe because the atmosphere exerts pressure on your lungs and essentially forces you to breathe. That is why it is more difficult to hold your breath than it is to breathe. Similarly, when you are born again and grafted into God's family, we enter into a spiritual atmosphere where God's presence and his word applies this pressure on us. The Holy Spirit influences us and convicts us on things we're doing in our lives. Prayer has to be the normal response to that pressure that's coming our way. As believers, we breathe the air of prayer. Unfortunately, many believers hold their spiritual breath for long periods of time, thinking brief moments with God are sufficient to allow them to survive. Are you clearly seeing that when we surrender and seek his face and continually desire to be in the presence of God, knowing his word, praying, we will clearly be breathing in his truths. And the more you do this, the deeper the desire there will be to run back into his arms and spend time with him. All these biblical examples and scriptures we read, and so many more, the whole word from Genesis to Revelation, show us that we need to surrender in a position of posture of prayer, praise, and spending consistent time in God's word. And look what happens. We will be able to stand firm in Christ alone, regardless of the circumstances. He is our strength and our strong tower. The righteous run in and they are safe. Nothing should catch us off guard. We've been warned. In this life, we're going to have trials. But we got to be of good cheer, because our great God has overcome it all. And he gives us the ability to stand and fight and be winners and warriors. We need to have a deep, honest talk with our Heavenly Father, ladies, surrendering to his word and being willing to be shaped and molded and pruned by him, examining our hearts and motives and getting attitude adjustments. And spiritual spankings are good. They'll make us strong women of God. Not perfect, of course. We're all working out our salvation with fear and trembling. And in the sanctification process, which I've got good news for you, it's lifelong. It happens every day. But a woman of God, her dependency is on the living God, and she's surrendered to his will and whatever he has for us. Encouragement. Let's not make excuses in our prayer lives or the study of scriptures. Like, I don't have time. Or I'm too tired. Or why? Nothing changes. I've been praying for this for so long. Maybe we just need an attitude and perspective adjustment. And listen, nothing changes until something changes. Sometimes we just got to do things scared. We just have to do what God's word tells us to do, even though it might be hard. We have to believe, not doubting. We have to show up messy and watch God move. So you don't have it all together, ladies. None of us do. Take your fears and become ferocious. Take those thoughts and throw away anything that doesn't line up with God's word. And come to the throne room with it all. He paid it all. All your past, present, and future goodness, and all our garbage. Surrender your heart, will, and emotions. Long for the Holy Spirit to counsel you and his word to change you. In California, there's a beach famous for beautiful pebbles called Pebble Beach. The raging white surf continually roars, thundering and pounding against the rocks on the shore. These stones are trapped in the arms of merciless waves. They're tossed, rolled, sifted, pummeled, rubbed together, ground against sharp edges of the cliffs. Both day and night, this process of grinding continues relentlessly. And what is the result? Tourists come from all over the world to collect these beautiful round stones. They display them in their cabinets and make jewelry of them. They decorate their homes with them. Yet a little further down the coast, just around the point of the cliff, is a quiet cove, protected from the face of the ocean, sheltered from the storms, and always in the sun. The sands are covered with an abundance of pebbles, never sought out by travelers. So why have these stones been left untouched all these years? Simply because they have escaped turmoil, all the weathered storms, and all the grinding of the waves. The quietness have left them as they have always been, rough, unpolished, devoid of any beauty or character. Because of our fallen sin nature, that image has become like these rocks. Because of our sinful nature, dirty, ugly, and coarse, and like rocks, we need a good washing. Once we are washed and we ask Jesus to be Lord of our lives, the goal is to become like the gems the Master wants us to become. There's a long process called polishing, which will take the rest of our lives. And what does he use for grit? John 17:17, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. This scripture reveals a simple liberating pattern. God himself sets his people apart. He does it through the objective reality of divine truth, and that truth is found only in the infallible word, the Bible. Jesus said, your word is truth. When we look at the Bible, we see truth. The Bible does not merely contain truth. The Bible is the truth. The words of the Lord are flawless. No matter what we face in this world, we are sustained by the truth prayed over us in Jesus' prayer. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. With our minds, we learn God's truth through the word, and with our hearts, we love God's word, and with our will, we are yielded to the Spirit and live God's truth day by day. That should be our daily position of surrendered posture. In a world filled with deception and lies and falsehood, the truth of God's word stands as the ultimate standard. The scripture aligns with Psalm 119:160, which declares, the entirety of your word is truth. The truth of God's word is not only doctrine, but it's transformative, ladies, as it renews the mind and guides believers into righteousness. Surrendering in a position of posture, being a living stone, continually working to remove the old nature, the sin nature, and reveal the beauty of Christ in us. This process of polishing is called sanctification, set apart for a holy purpose to bring God glory and honor. It continues not for a day or two, but for the rest of our lives. Grit brings friction and heat against the objects it is applied to. Heat can be painful. Life can be painful. Becoming all we can be for the master rock polisher is not always easy, painless, or without trials and persecution. But when you consider the eternal price Jesus paid for us on the cross, our temporary polishing is quite small in comparison. Ultimately, with God's help and the Holy Spirit's counsel, we can become his finished piece, fit to bring glory to a wonderful God who redeemed us from a pile of dirty, ugly rocks to make us gems prepared to live for the King and ready for eternity. May God help us to stay close to him as we go through each day in the tumbler of life, which for all of us is just living out our daily lives. Guess what? We have hope. In Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you, he will complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. Are you willing to be shaped and molded and refined by the master polisher? Are you surrendering to his will and not your will? And are you seeking God's truth and tuning into his voice, or all the other voices? Are they so loud it's so hard to hear the Savior's voice? In closing, what is going to be my position of posture in our new adventure? We call everything in our house an adventure because it sounds fun and it changes your perspective. We will continue, my husband and I, to pray together every day. This disease is not going to define us. It's not going to be our, what was the word? Identity. It's not going to be our identity. Our identity is in Christ. And every day we're going to renew our minds to truth. And we're going to shout Jesus out loud. I'm going to care for my Frankie Poo. I'm going to continue to love and serve my family, be in ministry, love strangers, love you. I would not trade our heart for anything. I trust my God more and more and keep falling more in love with him each and every day, even in the middle of these temporary afflictions. I have learned true surrender and dependency on Christ alone. I would rather be in the refiner's fire and be in the storm, grinded by the hard, and see and know deeply my Savior. Being confident that his promises are real, sure, and dependable, and know the height and breadth and depth of his love, mercy, and grace, and that God has a plan and a purpose in it all and through it all, and that I get to live out my testimony and, God willing, point people to Jesus with all my flaws, imperfections, and ugliness. He is the only reason I can be an overcomer and a more than conqueror. He is the only reason you can be an overcomer and a more than conqueror. We cannot do anything apart from Christ and the Holy Spirit's leading, guiding, and directing. All glory and honor in it all goes to him. Let's be polished, surrendered servants being shaped and honed by God for his divine purpose and for his glory. All these positions of surrendered posture, battling on our knees, praying, resting in the waiting, reading God's word, being refined and ready for each day, listening to the Holy Spirit's counsel and wisdom, standing and hungering for righteousness, and then going into the world and preaching the gospel, pointing people to the hope that lies within us, Jesus, Jesus. As I prepared this message, I, like you, I have to be surrendered to the unknown. I am, and I am sure you are so thankful and grateful that we have Jesus. I could not or would not want to do this life without my Heavenly Father. Let's do a victory chant. Let's just do it. All right, ready? I'm going to say, give me a J, and then we're going to go J-E-S-U-S. All right. Give me a J.
J.
Give me an E.
E.
Give me an S.
S.
Give me a U.
U.
Give me an S.
S.
Who do we love?
Jesus.
Who died on the cross?
Jesus.
Who rose from the dead?
Jesus.
Who is alive and active in our lives?
Jesus.
Who are we surrendered to?
Jesus.
And who never leaves us or forsakes us?
Jesus.
That's right. All right. So I wanted to do this for a few years. My mom, just a precious saint, both mommy and daddy love Jesus. But every time my mom would end her teaching or worship, she would sing this song. And guys, I don't have this incredible voice like some do, but you know what? I'm going to be surrendered and do it in obedience. I might do it messy and I might be totally off key, but you'll forgive me. So we're going to put the words up, and this is what we want to be. May this be the surrendered position of our posture, a vessel of honor to God, sanctified holy that I might be, a vessel of honor to God. So we'll sing it through. It's so simple and so easy but powerful. And then the last time, we'll just do it three times. The last time, why don't we just raise our hands? I mean, those who feel like they want to, but it's a surrendered position of posture. And we'll raise our hands. So it goes like this. A vessel of honor for God. A vessel of honor for God. Sanctified holy that I might be. A vessel of honor for God. A vessel of honor for God. A vessel of honor for God. Sanctified holy that I might be. A vessel of honor for God. Now let's just surrender. This is what we want to be, a vessel for you, Jesus, surrendered to you. A vessel of honor for God. A vessel of honor for God. Sanctified holy that I might be. Vessel of honor for God. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord. You're worthy of it. Ladies, people needing prayer, I pray, Lord, that we will surrender it all to you. You are so able. Your word breathes life. Lord, I pray that we will continue in surrendered positions of honor to you. No matter what we're facing, no matter what we're going through, Lord, you know it all, you see it all, and you are in it all. Bless these ladies, minister life to them, give them hope, help them to keep running the race with perseverance, pressing in to the one who can do it all, who's done it all, and who is it all, Jesus. We love you, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.